is the Bloomberg Market Minute on 700 WLW.
A valid point right there. All right, yes. Jeff Bellinger, we have Southwest pilots saying we are overworked.
Yes, their pilots union says the carrier scheduling practices are raising safety concerns. Union leaders sent an open letter to Southwest CEO Robert Jordan and other executives. The letter said an epidemic of fatigue among Southwest pilots began last summer as the number of travelers rebounded, and the number of pilots now asking to be relieved due to fatigue is many times higher than it was prior to the pandemic.
All right, still some issues for the 737 MAX in India. Regulators are keeping pilots from flying them.
Yeah, dozens of Indian pilots have been barred from the Boeing 737 MAX jets. The regulators say they discovered problems with the simulator that was used to train the pilots before the country cleared those jets to fly after the global grounding. Sources say there were glitches in the simulator's flight controls and a stick shaker, whatever that is, and a Boeing. Boeing owns that simulator.
Yeah. All right, a trucker's blockade, where is it going to be?
Along the Mexican border with Texas, a few months ago, a trucker's blockade of a border crossing between the U.S. and Canada caused supply chain issues. Now this new blockade at a key bridge between Texas and Mexico is raising concerns about disrupted deliveries of everything from avocados to auto parts. Mexican truckers are protesting stepped-up inspections in Texas. While all of this is going on, some big rigs are being diverted to other crossings.
Aye, aye, aye. All right, futures are...
mixed now. S&P futures up 2 points. NASDAQ futures are up 23. Dow futures have gone negative. They're down 16 points. From Bloomberg, I'm Jeff Bellinger on News Radio 700 WLW.
700 WLW. Talk a little politics here. And in for Sarah Isger this week, Alan Druk, who's with 538.com, a politics podcast. Galen, good to have you here. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me.
You betcha. So... we have President Trump, who has his share of fans around here, said at some point we would be sick and tired of all the winning, sick and tired of it. And I guess at this point, I look back at 2020, and I think he has convinced himself that the election was stolen because he can't admit to himself that he actually was less popular than he thinks he is. Is that your read on him? I'm just curious.
I mean, of course, I don't know what's going on inside the former president's head, but of course, he has continued to talk about the 2020 election now for, you know, over a year.
Right.
That's been one of the main focuses of how he has endorsed in the 2022 midterms, meaning that, you know, people who, Republicans within the party who say that that election was legitimate oftentimes find themselves with a primary challenger endorsed by Trump.
This endorsement of Dr. Oz in Pennsylvania has me somewhat perplexed. Do they have some sort of relationship, or does Trump just appreciate the fact that Dr. Oz was also on TV?
You know, you could say that. Of course, an important part of President Trump's appeal when he won the Republican primary in 2016 is that he was a celebrity candidate. He had better name recognition than many other candidates running in the race.
Right.
And of course, at this point, Trump is trying to sort of pursue his own interests, but he's also trying to endorse people that he think will win because he wants to have a strong record of endorsements coming out of this primary so that he can look at the party and say, I have so much influence over Republican voters that when I endorse someone, they win. And you should also, you know, potentially support me in the 2024 Republican, you know, presidential primary. And so I think he probably has some sort of affinity for the fact that Dr. Oz is a celebrity. It's similar to Trump. And he, you know, Dr. Oz is behind in the polls. He's not leading in the Pennsylvania Senate Republican primary,
yeah,
but not so far behind in the polls that he could, this, you know, potentially this endorsement couldn't, you know, increase his standing.
Well, I mean, I guess time will tell whether or not he is the kingmaker that many believe him to be, and he probably believes himself to be. What if this backfires on him and it doesn't pan out? I mean, right now, a surprising number of Republicans stand by him to the degree where they might look foolish standing by him. I think some Republicans are looking for, and I'm talking about those who hold political office, are looking for some reason to step back from Trump and can't find one.
Yeah, so I think this primary season is going to be a big test of Trump's sway and his sort of power within the Republican Party, because he has made some high-profile, risky endorsements. I think probably the best example is in Georgia. He has endorsed the challenger, Republican challenger to the current governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp, but he endorsed David Perdue. And that is extremely, extremely rare that a former, oftentimes former presidents don't even get involved in politics like this. Right. But to endorse a challenger to an incumbent from your own party, so far his endorsee, David Perdue, doesn't seem to be doing very well in the polls. So there's already some indication that Trump's endorsement is not a, you know, a golden ticket back, you know, into office. And when you poll Republican voters, they will tell you, you know, somewhere in the range of 40 to 50% will say that Trump's endorsement matters to them. So it's not already at the beginning, Republican voters aren't saying, whoever Trump endorses, I'm going to vote for that person. You know, it's not as simple as that. And when we look at Trump's favorability ratings, they have declined to some degree since he left office. So when he left office, his approval rating within the Republican Party was somewhere around 90%. Now it's somewhere around 80%.
Yeah.
However, if you look at his strong favorability ratings, like people who, you know, you would say love President Trump, that's fallen from around, you know, the low 70s to the low 50s. So you could see the split emerging within the Republican Party where, yes, he has a solid base with, you know, maybe 50% of the Republican Party, but there's the other 50% of the party that is not so enamored.
Well, you do have the occasional candidate, and I'm spacing right now on the Virginia governor's name, but he was kind of kept Trump at arm's distance. He was kind of, he didn't really want to be endorsed by Trump and felt that it worked to his benefit that he was not. Are there any other candidates elsewhere who've taken that same approach?
Yeah, so, you know, that was, of course, a unique race. In Glenn Youngkin's race in Virginia, he was, of course, competing in a state that Biden had won by 10 points. And so when you're in, a purple or even bluish state like that, it really, you know, you don't want Trump campaigning for you.
Right.
When it comes to other states where that will be the case, I would just look at some of the closest races in the country. For example, the Senate race in New Hampshire. It's hard to imagine that, whoever the Republican nominee there is going to want Trump campaigning all that much. I would say in the upper Midwest, you would likely see Trump campaigning, you know, whoever wins, for example, the Republican primary for Senate in Ohio is most likely going to see, you know, Trump campaigning on their behalf. But in some of these other states, it also depends on who ends up winning. For example, there is a Senate race in Arizona this fall. Now, if there's a more Trump-aligned candidate running in the Republican primary and then a less Trump-aligned candidate. And so we're going to have to see how these primaries play out a bit before we understand the role that Trump will play in the general.
All right. Galen Druk, all the time I have, but I'll thank you for yours. 538.com, and the podcast is out there for any and all to enjoy. And we'll talk again. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
You bet. All right, makes it 8:18 in the morning, 700 WLW. Mike McConnell going until 9. Mo Egger is in for Sloan today. Just saw Mo in the hallway. He'll be in here in just a little bit. And what else? We should probably check our traffic. We do that. So. Chucky stands by.
I'm right here.
In Seattle, nobody's paying to ride the light rail.
What?
They're going broke.
Why?
70% of the people do not pay, they figure.
Huh.
70%.
Mm-hmm.
They figure they could do it on the honor system. And that apparently people are not very honorable.
Oh, no.
Nobody's paying.
They spent too much on coffee.
Yeah. It's all stuff at Starbucks. That's right. There's more to this story, but I'll get to it in a minute. You do the traffic, please. You're in charge of that.
Got it. From the UC Health Traffic Center, UC Health has been performing life-saving transplants and providing second chances in greater Cincinnati for more than 50 years. Southbound 75 continues to run a bit heavy through the Lachlan split, but the delay time has dropped under the five-minute mark. On and off the brakes, southbound 71 as you come out of Kenwood down to Red Bank. Crews are working with an accident on Hopple at 75 and West 8th at Rosemont. Chuck Ingram, News Radio 700, WLW.
9 first warning weather. We got showers moving through the area now, and they're going to be off and on throughout the day and maybe heavy at some point in the afternoon, but definitely heavy tonight. We'll get up to 71 later. Tonight, 47 for the low. Tomorrow, 61 is your high. But tomorrow is the start of a stretch of dry days. That's the good news. I'm waiting on a stretch like that for a while. It will be cooler, but it will be dry. And the temp right now is still 62? Yes, it is. 62 at 700 WLW. Yeah, this thing in Seattle is just part of a trend in this country. And it's proof to me that people have lost their minds. They used to have, like, fair police that would make sure you're paying to get on the train. They would ask you on the train for your ticket, proof that you paid. Well, it turned out that, unfortunately, people of color were more likely to have not been paid. Therefore, they were getting in trouble more often. Therefore, they did away with the police. I don't know when people started. What amazes me is you go back, say, 25, 30 years, and in public schools, they were trying to get rid of the whole idea of what they called rote memorization. That was bad. People needed to learn how to think critically. Whoever was in charge of that had no idea what critical thinking was. Because what happens, this has happened in other cities, like in Philadelphia, they have more traffic stops for, say, equipment violations. You know, taillights out, no license plate, things like that, that you were overwhelmingly pulling over people of color. Therefore, they stopped stopping people for that. And here in Seattle, they took the cops off the trains that made sure people were paying the fare. And now 70% of the people don't pay the fare. There's not a crime out there where people in equal numbers commit that crime. I mean, this would be a reason to make everything legal, all the way down to murder, because men are much more likely to commit that than women. And if somebody were to suggest, well, look, it's obviously having a greater impact on men than it is women. This isn't fair. Nobody thinks like that until it gets down to nonsense like this. You know, embezzlement is overwhelmingly goes, it falls on in the laps of women. They commit that crime most often because it's a crime of opportunity. They're in position to do it. Working as accountants or whatever the case may be, women are more likely to commit that crime. There is no crime that is equally committed by men, women, black, white, Asian, whatever. Somebody, some ethnic group, some gender, somebody is going to commit that crime more than anybody else. But only at times like this are people crazy enough to say, well, let's just not enforce it anymore. Soft bigotry of low expectations, someone once said. All right, 8:22 in the morning. Stand by. More to come.
It's lunchtime baseball.
Way back there, and it is gone.
Grab a salad, grab a sandwich, grab a microwave mac and cheese, and catch the Reds and Guardians.
Making me hungry.
You eat while they play.
Enjoy the hot dogs and the action on the field.
Get the action from GABP today at 11:35.
There you go.
On 700 WLW and 700 WLW's live stream on the iHeartRadio app.
This report is sponsored by Northern Kentucky Health Department.
Get your booster shot, Northern Kentucky. Vaccines are widely...
8:28 in the morning, 700 WLW. And what? Just back to this whole idea of not enforcing the law because it has a disparate impact on one group of people. What do you think happened to the schools? I mean, you used to have pretty good schools. Everybody went to pretty decent schools for a while. I'm talking about, up through maybe the 70s, kind of. And then people started counting. Who's getting suspended most often? Who's getting disciplined most often? Paying no attention to who might deserve it. Just who is getting disciplined most often? Oh, look at this. People of color are being disciplined more often. Obviously, it's a racist school. Obviously, you have to change the rules as to what someone gets suspended for. Oh, that'll fix it. And so they do, and fewer people get suspended. And the next thing you know, all hell's breaking loose in the classroom because you're not allowed to do anything to maintain any kind of order because it might have disparate impact, racially speaking. So you get to the point where, unfortunately, it's who loses out are mainly black kids in a predominantly black school. It gets impossible to learn anything. because somebody started bean counting and said, well, it's unfair that this is happening, without ever looking at the idea that maybe these people are actually causing more problems than others. I mean, if we just did this with the sexes as opposed to the colors, maybe we'd begin to realize how ridiculous it is to do something like that. I mean, does anybody suggest that we should get rid of any laws where men are more impacted than women? Any law, I mean, obviously, it's got to be a bias in the system. It can't be the fact that someone's actually doing it. No, it is. And it's the same with kids getting suspended in school. You get suspended because of what you did, not because some teacher was a bigot. And most of the time when that happened, the teachers and the administration were all of the same color. It could be all Hispanic, it could be all black, all whatever. But, and since you can't blame them, then you say there's a system. Well, what in the system causes someone to get suspended or to break a law? It's just ridiculous. And I mean, you saw what it did to the schools, and now you want to do it to society. Starting with whether it's a subway or not pulling people over for having for their car in working order. Here we go. Because some people don't pay attention. All right, it's 8:30 in the morning. Something different following news, which is now 700 WLW.
News, traffic, and weather. News Radio 700 WLW, Cincinnati.
Apologizing to Reds country with the 8:30 report. I'm Rick Uccino. Breaking now, Reds COO Phil Castellini says he is sorry for comments made on our airwaves yesterday. When asked by Mo Egger why the fans should continue to put their faith in the organization after a flurry of offseason moves viewed negatively by many, Castellini responded by saying, be careful what you ask for. The only way to make the team profitable enough to add significantly to the payroll would be to pick it up and move it elsewhere.
This is opening day. This is a show. It's time to have some fun. Turn the page on the pandemic. You know, all the haters. See what 15 happens. Minutes is up. It's okay. Opening day.
He later returned to 700 WLW to clarify that they have no intention of moving the team. Castellini says he does understand the negative reactions by the fan base, but asks that they still support the players that are here.
We are not going anywhere. Neither of these guys are giving you 110% on the field every day. Support your Cincinnati Reds. We are here for the long term. We are committed, and we are committed to our fans.
The Castellini family has tried to make it quite clear in recent weeks that they are as committed as ever to putting a winner on the field. They just have to go about doing it a different way. Phil Castellini would later apologize again for his earlier comments in a brief statement to Red Leg Nation last night. Cincinnati did drop their home opener yesterday to Cleveland 10-5. Say two teams again today, weather permitting. Our pregame coverage gets underway at 11:35 right here on the home of the Reds. Let's check the latest traffic and weather together.
From the UC Health Traffic Center, UC Health has been performing life-saving transplants and providing second chances in greater Cincinnati for more than 50 years. Southbound 75 continues to run an extra 5 minutes in and out of the Lachlan split. You're off and on the brakes on southbound 71 from just below 275 down to Red Bank, and a report of an accident on that ramp. I'm not seeing a huge delay there as of yet. Crews are cleaning up a wreck on Hopple at 75. Chuck Ingram, News Radio 700 WLW.
Now the latest forecast from the Train Heating and Cooling Weather Center on News Radio 700 WLW.
Warm, cloudy, muggy, and breezy to start off your Wednesday, and that'll be the case all day long. Showers picking up through the morning, and that'll be with us through the afternoon with temperatures right around 71. Wind gusts up to 30 miles per hour. A severe weather threat moves in this evening and overnight into early Thursday before clearing as we head on into Thursday afternoon. Thursday morning, 47, 62 with sunshine Thursday afternoon. From your severe weather station, I'm 9 First Warning meteorologist Brandon Spinner, News Radio 700 WLW.
62 degrees right now. A major storm system moving across the U.S. did bring severe weather to the nation's heartland yesterday. Tornadoes, large hail slammed Texas and Iowa, while an all-out blizzard hit North Dakota. In Bell County, Texas, a tornado caused widespread damage and injured nearly two dozen people.
Large trees uprooted, overturned, stripped. Buildings really reduced to rubble at many locations. Again, power lines, power poles scattered all over the place. It's pretty devastating.
That's Bell County Judge David Blackburn. That same storm system will eventually make its way through our area today. Keep your radio locked on to 700 WLW for all of your severe weather updates. Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear is set to make a major economic announcement later this morning. The governor tweeting out yesterday he would be making an announcement that is historic, that would create thousands of jobs. He did not provide any other details about the contents of this announcement. Thousands are voting in Ohio's spring primary already, even though not everything is settled yet.
Despite still ongoing issues with Ohio's voting district maps, the Secretary of State says more than 71,000 people have requested absentee ballots ahead of the May 3rd primary. That primary is happening without races for state House and state Senate on the ballot, as the Ohio Redistricting Commission is now on its fourth attempt at drawing fair lines. There could be a primary for those races in August. Roughly 12,000 early absentee ballots have been cast so far. I'm Jack Crumley, News Radio 700 WLW.
Our next update will be at 9 o'clock. I'm Rick Uccino, News Radio 700 WLW.
This report is sponsored by Indeed.com.
If your company...
Does business news make you feel all tingly too?
This is the Bloomberg Market Minute on 700 WLW.
All right, Mr. Jeff Bellinger, you're gonna, the March PPI number is out. Give me some PPI.
All right, yeah, not good news. Last month's jump in wholesale prices was bigger than expected. The Labor Department reports the producer price index rose 1.4% in March. The PPI was up 11.2% from March of last year. That is the most on record. The year-over-year increase in the core PPI, which excludes energy and food costs, was more than 9%.
Is that Putin's fault?
Partially. It shows an intensification of pressures during the first full month of Russia's war in Ukraine that pushed up energy, food, and metals prices.
All right. We have food nutrition. Not a bad thing if you're Kroger.
No, food inflation really hurts if you're a food shopper, of course, but if you're in the business of selling food, it's a different story. Some of the nation's big supermarket chains have seen their sales increase, driven by a combination of higher prices and the trend toward people preparing more meals at home. The Wall Street Journal says grocery chains' profits are increasing because they are raising sale prices, not absorbing the higher wholesale costs.
All right. Will people continue to buy larger cars with gas prices where they are? Jeep says yes.
Yes, Jeep thinks so. It's betting there will be a market for large vehicles despite the price of gasoline. Jeep is planning to introduce bigger versions of its upscale Wagoneer and Grand Wagoneer SUVs. The new versions, which will be on display at the New York International Auto Show, are 1 foot longer than the Wagoneer models with standard wheelbases.
An ultra Grand Wagoneer.
That's it.
Yes. All right, futures then, since that PPI came out.
They are mixed. S&P futures are down just a small fraction. NASDAQ futures are up 21 points. Dow futures are down 26. From Bloomberg, I'm Jeff Bellinger on News Radio 700 WLW.
All right, it's about 8:40 in the morning, 700 WLW. Going until 9 o'clock. Mo is in for Sloan at 9 o'clock this morning. And... there's good news out there. Some people are beginning to think like me. On the whole transgender thing, I made the point that it's awfully one-sided. At some point, you're going to have the people who have said, you know, polls have showed that there are those who transed and did not, weren't happy with their situation. And sooner or later, they're going to start speaking up. There's no reason why all of a sudden we have this wave of people who believe that they are transgendered. And one example of somebody who has come to the fore... got her, well, it's, she's now a her, sex change when she was 19 years old. And did an op-ed that appeared in the Washington Post, which surprised some people and aggravated others. And was headlined, "What I Wish I'd Known When I Was 19 and Had Sex Reassignment Surgery." And went through some of the issues that she had over time and the issues she still has today. Said, "When I was 19, I had surgery for sex reassignment, or what is now called gender affirmation surgery. In terms of my priorities and interests today, that younger incarnation of myself might as well have been a different person. Yet that was the person who committed me to a lifetime apart from my peers. There's much debate today about transgender treatment, especially for young people. Others might feel differently about their choices, but I know that I wasn't old enough to make that decision. Given the strong cultural forces today, casting a benign light on these matters, I thought it'd be helpful for young people and their parents to hear what I have wish I had known." She explained that once she believed she'd be more successful finding love as a woman, considering she was interested in men. However, found out that very few straight men are interested in having a physical relationship with a person who was born the same sex as them. So that's a swing and a miss. She described experiencing gender dysphoria as a teenager, as well as anxiety and depression, and that she wasn't prepared for puberty or the strong sex drive typical of a male teen. Said surgery unshackled me from my body's urges, but the destruction of my gonads produced a different type of bondage. From the day of my surgery, I became a medical patient and will remain one for the rest of my life. Just to take estrogen. I guess it's problematic if she does not. It's also described, she described, how she pushed her parents out of her life before making the decision to have the surgery, leaving her to only feel validated by people she met online who were like-minded. Said, I shudder to think how distorting today's social media is for confused teenagers. I'm also alarmed at how readily authority figures facilitate transition. These are all the things that I've said. I can't believe that, yeah, medical authorities go along with this stuff. She explained she was still working out how much regret she should feel, considering she hadn't made the transition, she would be dealing with separate challenges. And that she's comfortable with just the ambiguity of not knowing. Said, what advice would I pass on to young people seeking transition? The prospect of sex can be intimidating, but sex is essential in healthy relationships. Give it a chance before permanently altering your body. Most of all, slow down. You may yet decide to make the change, but if you explore the world by inhabiting your body as it is, perhaps you'll find you love it more than you thought possible. Then you have people who thought it was great that she actually wrote this op-ed. Proud of her. They applauded. And others, it's kind of predictable what some people will say. One transgender activist, Morgan, I can't pronounce the last name, blasted the Post for publishing the piece while calling the writer a bitter old trans woman. The full remark was, Washington Post bravely publishes another op-ed by a bitter old trans woman, taking the side of far-right bigots, banning affirming health care for trans youth, comparing it to fad diets. Democracy dies in darkness, but trans kids die on the Post editorial page. No. I mean, again, to me, this whole thing is a bit of societal madness, and sooner or later we'll wake up from it. These things come and go from time to time, you know, and 5 years from now, people will look back on this and say, what in the world were we thinking? And then they'll just pretend they never thought it and pretend it never happened. We'll just move on from this. I went back and looked up the one, because I mentioned that, I don't know, a week or two ago, that back in the 80s, you had this scare about child sex predators in daycares. And it was the one was this, the McMartin preschool trial. If you weren't around for that, or refresh your memory, either way, Google it, McMartin trial. And it was, you know, kids with the help of child psychologists asking very leading questions that said they were abused in this daycare center. They also said all sorts of things that made no sense at all about secret tunnels and people could fly and all this stuff, but somehow people wanted to believe it. That if you were a teenager today or even older, you were suppressing this memory. That, and if we just bring it out of you, we know it's real and we'll chase these people down, arrest them and put them on trial. I mean, it was nuts. I mean, in the end, and this was like a 5-year trial or something. And they were one. There were others that were on trial, too, over these same allegations. I don't think anybody was ever convicted. Basically, other psychologists came along and said those child psychologists asked the most leading questions you could possibly ask. But people, I mean, doing a talk show, it was an ongoing topic. And the number of people who believed absolutely those kids are right. You have to believe what those kids say. You have to. And today, you know, people like this, you know, comparing her to a bitter old trans woman. If that kid says they're trans, you have to believe them. You have to believe them. You have to give them puberty blockers. You have to. No, you don't. You know, if somebody, you know, one of the arguments when people wanted to legalize pot was you can't do that. My Lord, they could smoke it at 21. Your brain's not fully developed till 25. But somehow if you're 10 and declare that you're trans, we're supposed to go along with you. What would the average person say? The average person who believes you should believe a trans kid, you know, give them puberty blockers, breast removal. What would you say if that kid decided they wanted to smoke? What, are you nuts? Yeah, I'm 15 and I want to smoke. You can't just let a 15-year-old. No, that's insane. That's not good for. Nobody would allow anybody, any doctor who would do a sex change surgery on whatever, a 16-year-old or 18-year-old. You would go nuts if they decided they wanted to smoke. I mean, just a basic stupid thing that teenagers often do and young people often do and some stick with it for the rest of their life. But sex change, oh yeah, sex change, sure, just don't do that. It's absolutely insane. And the lawsuits have to come. I will be shocked, stunned, and amazed if we don't have, in 10 years, lawsuits from these people saying, what, I was 15 and you believed me? Now look at me. And I'm on drugs for the rest of my life. And nobody wants to have sex with me because I was a man or I was a woman when I was born. I don't get it. But I can't wait. All right, we should check our traffic. That's what we do. We are Chuck.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Mike.
Anything big?
Not huge, but still some issues to deal with, yes.
A little something to keep your day going.
That's exactly right.
Well, good. What do you got?
From the UC Health Traffic Center, UC Health has been performing life-saving transplants and providing second chances in greater Cincinnati for more than 50 years. For the most part, the slow traffic, no longer an issue on southbound 71, inbound 74, and northbound 75. However, on southbound 75, the delay times are growing. Closer to a 10-minute delay now out of Sharonville through the Lachlan Split. Crews are working with a wreck on Liberty at Reading and cleaning up on Union Center above Westchester Road. Chuck Ingram, News Radio 700 WLW.
9 First Warning Weather Center forecast. We have showers moving in. Well, they're pretty much here for most of us, but if you're north and east, you'll get them eventually. And we can see some storms this afternoon. We will top out right around 71. Overnight, rain continues. Another round of storms possible in 47. Then tomorrow, we have morning rain. That'll wrap up. We'll have sun by afternoon and top right around 61 for a high tomorrow. It is dry for several days, but it does get cooler. And the temp right now still has not budged. It is 62 degrees, 700 WLW.
Get closer to your favorite celebrities than ever before in the most intimate celebrity podcast ever, the Celebrity Colonoscopy Podcast.
Yeah, look at that polyp.
With Dr. Bud Brinkler, gastroenterologist to the stars.
That's a beautiful polyp.
The Celebrity Colonoscopy Podcast. Next week, featuring Carrot Top.
There are a lot of shows to listen to these days. Make sure it's a show worth your time. I suggest The Scott Sloan Show.
I face the same problems you do. So let's talk about it and have a little fun along the way.
Check out Sloaney this morning at 9 on 700 WLW. And be sure to catch his podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
This report is sponsored by McCabe Lumber.
The McCabe Lumber Huge Deck Expo sale is going on now through May 1st. Gary Sullivan here. Get the lowest price of the year.
Hey, Paul, what's going on?
Hi, Mike. Hey, if you buy a car and you have buyer's remorse, you can always take it back, you know, but this is a clear-cut case of buyer's remorse with this person that wrote this article. You know, if there's one, there's more, you know.
It's not the only one. I mean, it's somebody who wrote well enough that the Washington Post printed their opinion piece, but I mean, it's not like they're the only person out there that has buyer's remorse.
Right, and there's going to be a lot of other people out there after hearing your broadcast this morning that are going to realize that they might have it too and speak up. You know,
well, there aren't that many to begin with, but it's just I'm just amazed, constantly amazed at how society thinks this is a good idea, especially in young kids. Once you're 18, I don't care. This person was 19 when they did that. Sorry they did the wrong thing, but they had the right to do that at 19. But when parents start listening to 10-year-olds, you know, and 13-year-olds, that's insane. And be the parent. Well, take some charge.
Right. And 21 needs to come back, too. You know, because I don't think, you know, you're right. You mentioned 25, you know, the brain, who knows what's going on with yourself when you're 18 even? I remember, and I didn't have these things came over me, not this transgender, but just emotional, you know, confusion and stuff like that. I didn't know what was happening.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, are you in a good position to make a decision of any kind? Hardly.
No, I did nutty things at 18, too. You watch college students doing stupid things all the time. They're all at least 18.
Right.
With very few exceptions.
At 21 is minimum, you know, especially for guys. How many guys are not, think of the guys that do stupid stuff and end up, like, a lot of them get hurt or killed, you know.
Yeah.
And just really, you know, I'll let you go to the next caller, but...